You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. Help us, Spirit of God, put it all together for us a little bit, God, that we might have the benefit. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving us, God, wanting us to enjoy your awesome person in a very full and complete way. And not get sidetracked, God. So help us in every way. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of the first epistle of John, as we have been looking at it, here in 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonian believers are given a having a got wonderfully saved. There was great persecution, like in Jerusalem. Northern Greece had a lot more persecution than southern Greece, as far as we know. So, in the process, here the Thessalonians get saved in a wonderful way, because it wasn't just a little come and go and get saved if you want. They were under pressure. They realized they needed a Savior. They needed to trust God. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you'll remember, you're picking up, if I can, in verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. We didn't just give you the word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, little word, much assurance. The word full plus the word verb to carry. Full carrying, assurance. To make full, to make perfect, to make complete. Thoroughly. They got saved, and they were not. It was not a question whether they got saved. They didn't come down the aisle and go home afterwards and not sure they're saved. They were saved. They were wonderfully, wonderfully saved in God's wonderful, wonderful way. So they knew they were saved. That was the starting point, so that they could be able to say in verse 9, and they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you. In other words, in the light of verse 5, verse 9, they were saved in a wonderful way. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And not only that, verse 10, and to wait, to be waiting for his Son from heaven, out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath of God. Now, here's the believers. They ought to be encouraged from the time they get saved, that to get saved and understand being saved, they to enjoy a new direction, a new way of looking at everything, and be waiting for his Son out from heaven. So when we come over to 1 John, if we can, and you'll note in 1 John, picking up, if I may, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and may I pick up the thought. In chapter 3, verse 24, 3 and 24, you'll remember, and the Spirit of God is trying to lock in. They're hearing all kinds of things just before 100 AD. and they're hearing all kinds of things in other directions that they shouldn't. In other words, they're having to filter out all that's being said and they're experiencing in their life. So, and therefore they need to lock in that solid, safe relationship to God. So, in verse 24 we read, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." The believing heart is resting in God, and God, he, God, the Father, is in the believing heart. "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And the Spirit of God is locking in this wonderful relationship so that they're to enjoy it, to be abiding, to be resting in him. "And he in him, he abideth in us," and they were to be enjoying a unique, wonderful relationship to God. Chapter 4, as we shared together. And that relationship needed to be understood because they needed to stop. Verse 1, 4, 1. "Beloved, believe not, stop believing every spirit, but try, put to the proof, put to the test the spirits which are, they are of God, which, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, etc., are gone out into the world." So there's all kinds of voices in all kinds of different ways and moods and manners. Be careful what you're listening to, what you're letting sink into your head and heart, and you're going to lose out of that full assurance. You're going to lose out on it. So therefore, a test, prove, put to the test, we shared together. Truth and error. In other words, you're going to go and test. Verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Every spirit that comes in the flesh is of God. So God. So what's the test? God. The believing heart is finding what believing heart has God, finds God is finding his home better. God is finding his home in the believing heart. The saved believer and the Spirit of God is the source of that life in the most wonderful way. So therefore, they need to be confessing Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God in the most wonderful, wonderful way. And remember we shared that together in chapter 4. What we're looking at now is just locking in Jesus Christ. Confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. When that translates, Jesus is his humanity, looking at his humanity, Christ looking at his deity, over in chapter 4. Remember we shared together. Verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, he dwelleth in him, and he in him." He and God, a relationship, always personal, easy to understand, in, over and over again. God in the believing heart in Christ our Lord. So therefore, verse 15, "Jesus is the Son of God," chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Jesus Christ is the flesh. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God finding his home in the heart of the believing believer. So therefore, God. So this is much, that to have much assurance. And we share together in verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And remember now this, what you're looking at, because in verse 1, the false prophets, false teachers, they're all there. And locking, hold your finger here for a minute, and go over to 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy and chapter 4, and tie that together. 1 Timothy and chapter 4, and if I can. Now, chapter 4, Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, the Bible, God's word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, devils, demons. So where are they doing it? Because the people are feeding it out. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, set apart by the word of God in prayer. So the message out there is to give all kinds of things, to work at things, to do everything, to try to make everything come out just so. But in the process, the world's trying to get us in all kinds of ways to try to work at things when God has given us his grace to save us. So we start as we did all those things, you know. We take our works and we look at our works out doing what we do. And as we work, we think we're going to earn something and deserve something and merit something. And we don't earn, we don't merit anything, because there's nothing we can do. No flesh shall glory in my presence. So God, here we are. And God has to be God. God said he's the only God and the only Savior. He does it all. It's called grace. The Lord Jesus Christ brings to us all of God in the grace of God, so that we're able to trust him with all our heart. So it isn't anything we're going to do. It's something he's done. And we often have to understand it is given to us to exercise it. He in us in the believing heart, the believing heart in him. And we're to exercise that relationship in Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. In. It's a relationship, a simple, wonderful relationship that you have to exercise. You live inside your body, and now you have a relationship to God in that same body, and therefore, how is that possible? Because Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and God prepared a body without sin, Luke chapter 1, so the Spirit of God could go and save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God's going to go and do everything that he's made possible to bring it home to our head and to our heart. So, here in 1 John, the spirits are there, and that's how we're going to test. Are the people that are talking to us, teachers, false prophets, all the stuff we're listening to, is it honoring Jesus Christ as God? Is it recognizing the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Does it recognize God? Do they recognize God in Christ? Do they recognize God in your heart? Because that's how you got saved. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved you in a wonderful way. The God that's in you is the test to see if the God that's in you is the same God in the source that's bringing you the message. It's the test of the spirits to test Is that message coming from God? Is the person of God recognized in the person of Jesus Christ who died on the cross? And we share together a big argument that God can't be in a man. God can't do that. And God can't be in you. On the contrary, God is in Christ in order that he could be in you. Now, keeping that little bit in mind, if you can, and so the Spirit of God is going to go and do what he does in a most wonderful way to show. And so therefore, greater is he, as we shared, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater, more than. So as we share together, it's boiled down to two things. There's God and the devil. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, God, the seed of the serpent, the devil. The battle. He's the God of this world, little g, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Satan, the God of this world. God, the Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth. To God. He seeking to be God, doing what he does. Simple, right down the line. That's what the whole ball game is outworking itself. Now, so in the solution, verse 4, chapter 4, 1 John, greater is he that is in you. Simply, it's as simple. It isn't anything. What you do, what you say, what you made happen, what's the issue? You have received Jesus Christ as God. And the issue is God. It isn't about us. It isn't about what we prove, can approve of. It isn't about that. It's about God's wonderful, wonderful person doing what he does in the way that he does it. So greater is he that is in you. Now, putting that together a little bit, go over with me, please, over, if you would, to the Matthew chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 4. And our Lord, making all of this possible, went to the cross in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So first, Matthew chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 1. Then, now I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 16, context. Chapter 3, Matthew, verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, having identified clearly God in Christ, this is my beloved Son. Chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, tried, put to the proof of the devil. And 40 days, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards was hungered. Now the test is there. Remember that you have the same thing in Hebrews in chapter 2. He was tested in every way possible. And chapter 2 and chapter 4. Here in Matthew chapter 4, sliding down to verse 4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Each of the tests that Jesus Christ was tested in this case, he shows, us humans need to keep listening to God and not listening to 1,000 things that aren't going to help us at all. They're no God. So therefore, Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle in the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, remember the word if here, and in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, back here in verse 5, if thou be the Son of God, that's first class, it means since, because, it's true. Since you're the Son of God, that's what he was saying. There was no question about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, not to the devil. Cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. So each time, greater is he that is in you. Right. He's already proven that he's greater. Then the devil, that's the whole battlefield. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, all the nations, and the glory of them, and all the nations. He's the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And saith unto him, what did the devil say? All these things will I give thee, if thou shalt fall down, wilt fall down and worship me. In other words, I'll step away and give you, let you take my place. That's a silly thing because he already has. But he offered to the perfect humanity of man, of the Lord Jesus, I'll give you all these, which he had to give. And the Lord answered him. Then verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee thence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So what are we going to do? So God, you're able to go and overcome. Greater is he that is in you, to be able to conquer, to be able to be victorious, to be able to prevail over all the teachers and all the false prophets. Do you need to be able to do so? Yes. 2 Corinthians. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you'll pick it up a little in verse 4. Chapter 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. The problem is to be, I'll read verse 3 to give you context, but I fear, lest any by any means the serpent beguiled you, tricked you, as the serpent beguiled and tricked Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. Just plain receive Christ as your Savior. Simple, wonderful, don't make a big issue. Just do it. 4. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, another good news, which you have not accepted, which you might well bear with him. Sliding over verse 13, as you know, for such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, just think out there. The devil isn't coming in a bad way. The devil's coming in a very, very subtle way. Is it? Well, the truth. And truth, as you know, Revelation 17, an error rides on the religious system, the political system. Rides on top of the religious system to get where it's going. Religious system carries it. So here we are. We're apostles of Christ. Verse 14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, not darkness. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, those that serve, also be transformed into as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So it's hot. We're going up against false apostles. We're going against righteousness and light. And we're going against all the stuff that it should be the right thing, should sound the right way, should come out right. Be careful who you're listening to. Test it. Is the source coming? Is the source believing Jesus Christ is God? That is God in you. That's what the test is. If God isn't in you, it's not of God. It's not of God. Now, looking, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's wonderful care and outworking. So, the world system hears and follows what it does in the way that it does. And you know from John chapter 3, John, Gospel of John and chapter 3 and verse 19, that the world, well, do that. It's worth it. I want to show you something. John in chapter 3. If I may, you know verse 18. He that believeth on him, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, judged already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They loved, that's the word, love God with all your heart. That's the word, that word. And what are we doing? We're loving darkness instead of loving God. We're loving darkness instead of loving light. That's what we're doing. Now, sliding over if I can. In chapter 3. And sliding over if I can now to chapter 15. They love darkness rather than light. So in John chapter 15, what else do we know about the world? The world hears and follows darkness. That's what it does. It's not a question. It hears and follows darkness. It loves darkness. And here in John chapter 15, and in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, verse 19, if you were of the world, if you belonged to the system, the world would love his own. That's the other word for leo, just love. We just love. We love each other. We love the system. We're in the system. Demas, having loved this present world, love. We love the world. The world loves his own. The world loves his own. Doesn't love God. It loves darkness. But it loves its own. Its own. We can get together. We pay all kinds of things. Nations, groups, gatherings. We do it. We're able to be very comfortable with each other. That's what we can do. The world loves its own. The world listens to its own. So therefore, verse 19, if you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world hates you. Now, so therefore God, chapter 17, turn the page. The world loves darkness. It hates God. And the world loves, not the love, not that love, that's the other love, phileo. To love what? To love each other, just to be comfortable with each other. Us humans, we're all comfortable with us being human. Not when it comes to God, but when it comes to us. So, chapter 17, if I may. And in chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one, the devil himself, to keep them from the devil. That's what they want to do. That's what you're praying for, God. We're in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is against you. I am looking to be in you, greater, to overcome what? The one who's in the world, who doesn't want you saved, doesn't want you to enjoy being saved, doesn't want anything. It's love darkness rather than light, and death rather than life. So Satan's control in an awesome way is to be outworked. So humans are to accept. Humans accept and allow and follow evil. That's what they do. And mind yourself now. Back over to Ezekiel for a moment. Ezekiel in chapter 14, as you know. In Ezekiel chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it all by them? In other words, it's make it easier. You're going to be sliding over to verse 7. I'll read verse 4 even. 14:4, just to build it so you see it. Where do idols come from? Where does religion come from? It comes from us humans. So we're the creator. If any God we create, any God is out there, we created them. And it's impossible for us to create God. We have an Allah, but we can't create an Allah. We can't make Allah be Allah. Allah isn't Allah. You may, unless they try to say that, give that name to God, but that's not his name. Can't be God. So none of it can be God, because we did it. It's out of us. We created it. And we shared it last time to remind yourself. Test anything you want. Test whatever you're believing. You can't. Is there a relationship to timelessness? Is there a relationship to God? You're a person. Is your person ready for the next step? And here, say it a different way. When was the last time God spoke to you? And your religion will never have a time. Never. Allah never will say anything. There's no one going to say anything. Ever. Because there isn't any. There's only one God. Demons are there. And all of that. No question. No question about that stuff. Nope. So therefore, verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, which setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. In other words, we think it, and then we create it in written form, in Buddhas, in images, in ways to do things. We do it. We create religion, and we create it. It's up to our eyeballs. And we're very, very, the world is. So, doing what it's doing. Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. All of it we create. Verse 7. And every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. In other words, we think it, and then we build it from a tree. We make a piece of wood, Jeremiah chapter 10. We take a tree, we use it for firewood, we use it for all kinds of things, and we make an idol out of it. We do it. Our religious system. Verse 7. Putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. God said, all of that is our own effort to do our own thing in our own way, and we like it. That's why religions are popular. That's why us humans follow. We don't want to know what God said, like Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 5. They didn't want to hear God anymore. They want to listen to him. We don't want to hear God. We just want to, we like talking to each other, telling our thoughts and our, what we think and what we feel. We like that because it's all out of us and from us. And we're able to do it in a way that honors him, honors ourselves. And we like doing it. But to hear God, no, we don't do that. No. No, therefore, back over to 1 John. And 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 5. They, the false prophets, back up to verse 1, false prophets, teachers, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's what we've been trying to illustrate. They are the world, very comfortable listening to each other, talking to each other, and debating with each other and doing whatever. Very comfortable. Therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, and if you would, and we're very comfortable listening. Now, to see the comfortableness of it in a way, that Old Testament way, hold your finger here, and we'll go back over to that which you're familiar with, Jeremiah, and in chapter 5 again, just to refresh your memory, Jeremiah chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 31. Chapter 5, I'll read verse 30. 5:30, Jeremiah. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What is that that's so bad? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means for their own end. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What am I supposed to do, said God, when you're going in the wrong direction and you're choosing darkness rather than light? What is there to be done? What is there to be done? What can I do? Judgment. Judgment. People love it so. That's my get to point. What do we read in John 15? The world loves to hear its own. And what do we have in 1 John 4, 5? They love their soul. The world listens to each other. They do. Hang on. Over, if I can. In the light of that, in God's wonderful, wonderful working in the way that he does, over to chapter, oh, go with chapter 7. Chapter 6. Don't have to go very far. You'll pick up again. You get the flavor of it. Chapter 6. Jeremiah, while you're still here, verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They, verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, what do they keep saying? Peace, peace. when there is no peace? There isn't any. So we're trusting. We're trusting. What are you trying to say in the first epistle of John? Stop listening to all these different things. Remember the guy in the field trying to call, and the doors open, and all the noise is there around him. He's trying to listen to talk to somebody on the phone, and the voice says, "Shut the door to keep the sound out." You leave the door open, and you're listening to the world and trying to talk to God. You're trying to do two things. Shut the door so you can listen to God. You're trying to do too many things. You're trying to hear the music people do on whatever it is, whatever they do. And they do it and try to listen to God. You can't do it. Can't do it, and that's why you can't do it in the assembly. You have stuff that doesn't belong. You aren't going to listen to God. You're listening to the system. That's why we like the music and all of that, you see. Why? Because we're used to it. And we're trying to hear God. But we don't hear God, do we? We just don't hear God. And it's all right. Because we didn't expect to ever hear God. God never says anything to me, you see. Well, now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 4, picking up, please. And chapter 4 and verse 6, contrast. Verse 5, the world's listening to each other. They aren't listening to God. What's another test? The test is, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why? Because the world, hears the world very comfortably. When God tries to speak, when we try to share, they don't want to hear God. The test, are you? We want to speak of God in a personal way, a wonderful way. Religion, we can hear that. But I would say, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. God is God. He's my God and Savior. He's my Lord and Shepherd. He's my Shepherd. So he's mine. Do you know the football player, a little testimony that was played in front of me from the television thing on the football games and stuff? Anyway, the Patriots guy gave his testimony two times on the right straightway. And you know what? When I listened to it on that tape, I could relate. If I was in front of him, I can relate to where you're trying to go and where you're coming from. I'm on the same page. I'm on the same wavelength. I'm on the same God. My God is your God. This is the only God. It's coming across. I got it. That's what we're looking for. But people around you, they hear them. I don't hear God. I'm looking for God. Looking for God. Yeah, I don't see God. I don't see forgiveness. I don't see you. You ought to be thankful. Just think of Sunday school. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptation. Where is the relationship to God, you see? You'll know them. They'll hear you if you're saved. And you're talking about being saved. You're talking about God's wonderful life and love and his lordship. And you're looking to God to help you. And I can relate to that. You can relate to that because we're on the same page. That's the test. You'll know if the source coming at you isn't on the same page, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know the spirit of error, the spirit of truth. The spirit of God's going to always honor. You know, from 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. He mocks him. He mocks him. And people can talk about, the many can say, Lord, Lord, in my name, like in the in tribulation, different things. Did we not do many cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this? Lord, we did it in your name. What did we just read in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, 13, 14, 15? They're saying of God, light, righteousness, life. They're talking about a relationship that isn't real. It isn't there. There is no relationship, but it's coming across. What did Jeremiah say? What were they doing? God said this, and God said that. But God never said it. But we say he said it, but he never said it. But we say it, and you believe. You didn't test. I don't believe God in the God that you do out there, like talking. You should listen twice. It doesn't mean you can stop having lunch with them, but just don't believe them. Don't believe them. They're going the wrong direction. You don't want to test them. Test them. Test them. Why? Because you want to keep your heart right. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have to keep your heart right. So therefore, you're going to go and look to God. And you'll notice it says in chapter 4, and in verse 5, the world hears the world. Unsaved, the world in darkness loves darkness. When you come to verse 6, you have the same verb, heareth us, God heareth us. And we know that when we walk in the light as he is in the light, but we believe that we're on the same page, we believe the same God in the same way, and we're enjoying the same benefit. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in you. The same greater, the God, is it? How can you be saved? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath God. That's how we have to be on the same page. We have to be looking to God in a most wonderful way. And therefore, we hear him. Over, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, 1:1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God has given us his wonderful word in a most wonderful way. And therefore, you would know when God is done. Over to, got that part? God has spoken by his Son. Back over to John's Matthew 17. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, Mount of Transfiguration. In chapter 17, and you will note. Chapter 17, please. Picking up, if I may. Remember, Peter, James, and John, Jesus Christ is glorified. They're able to see and relate to Moses and Elijah. And in the process, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the last three words, hear ye him. He's spoken in these last days, spoken to you. And therefore, sliding down to verse 8, what happened to Moses and Elijah? And when they had lifted up their eyes, Peter, James, and John, They saw no man save except Jesus only. Here, what did you read in Matthew chapter 4? The devil tempted him. Who did they tempt our Lord? Who is our Lord? He's God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's gone. It's gone. That's the test. The test is God. Look for God. If he isn't there, it's the world system. And you don't get tied up in it. You're in it, and you want to work in it and be at peace as best you can in the whole thing. But it isn't God. It's darkness. And I don't want darkness, and you don't want darkness. And the Apostle Paul, remember, they said it, 1 Corinthians and that. Then Paul said, I'll read it in closing. Or if you would, please. Picking up, if I may, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 4. And you'll note, in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, and here's the Apostle Paul giving a testimony and helping the Corinthians, trying to understand, to help them understand. Chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle. We are made in the arena for the world to look at, like the arena with the lions and the fire and all of that. God has put us. So when we see how are believers seen, made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. So looking at a believer, they're an odd thing. A believer is what? Jesus Christ is odd. He's not like the rest of us. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not like the rest either. You're different. Greater is he that is in you, and the world won't listen to you. But other believers, we listen to you. So when you give your testimony, I got it. I'm encouraged. When I give my little testimony, if I did, I hope you're encouraged. We're set. It's all right. As we started out, when they got saved, the gospel, they were saved by the power of God and the grace of God and great and much assurance. They had much fullness, completeness, solidness. They were saved. And they were saved not because of them. They were saved by God's wonderful grace, because God's wonderful person is a wonderful Savior. And he saves us to the uttermost. And thus, God, we're in the world, and the world hates us. It hates light. But God, we're in the light. We're children of the light. We're to walk in the light because of you, the light of the world, God. So here we are, going down the corridor. So the test is walk on. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked in all kinds of different ways. Trust God with all your heart. Now, so we'll close in prayer. And our Father and God, thank you. Thank you very much for helping us a little bit to try to understand, God. God, it's all about you and the system we live in that hates light. And God, we've come to the light, and so here we are, seeking to honor you and understand, so that, God, we don't get confused and locked into all kinds of different stuff coming into our head and heart by all kinds of different from all kinds of different directions, so that we get confused. God is a wonderful, simple thing. God, you're wonderfully God, all by your lonesome, and you want us to believe your saving grace, even by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you very, very much. So God, may we find that full assurance, that wonderful security, that wonderful surety, because God, because of you, not because of us, because of you. So thank you very, very much, Spirit of God. Make up and help us in every way. In Christ's name, amen.